The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Good morning. Good to see all of you. Open up to 1 Thessalonians. Be in chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. You guys are really far away. Everybody at home right now, we certainly miss you. We've seen the Lord answer a lot of prayer in this church and continues to answer a lot of prayer in this church. And thank you for being unified in that. Thank you for praying for one another, coming alongside one another. And we are really seeing God move in that. So before we get into the word, let me just go ahead and pray and get started. Father, we are grateful as we have sung to you this morning for Jesus. Not only Jesus, that you are our Savior, but that we can walk with you. Lord, that we can know you, Lord, and we can know you even in our filth, God. We can know you even in our thoughts that aren't of you, Lord, and in our actions that aren't of you, Lord, and when we fall short of your glory, God, because of the cross. And so we pray and ask, Lord, as my sister just prayed, Lord, that you would quicken our hearts, Lord, that you would cut our hearts with your word, where there needs to be encouragement, that we would be encouraged, where there needs to be, Lord, a correcting, that you would correct. Where rebuke, Lord, that there would be rebuke, Lord. Where, Father, where we would need to, Lord, move in a certain direction, that you would move us that way, Lord. Help us to obey what you're asking us to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We went through 1 through 4 last week, so I'm going to go ahead and read 5 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Did I not say that? Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. Goodness. Didn't even realize it. Thank you, Conrad. Okay, so verses 5 through 10. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now keep in mind that in 1 Thessalonians, every chapter touches on the coming of the Lord. That is one of the themes that Paul lays out for us. The Lord is coming. Keep the hope of Jesus and the fact that he's coming in front of you and let that spur you on. So very cool how Paul does that. But I want to focus on four things today. You'll see them on the board up here behind me, as well as the verses. But they're pretty simple. The truth comes in power. The truth comes with joy. The truth comes with change, and the truth comes with hope. Now, remember, as we talked about last week, that Paul was with the church of Thessalonica for a very short time. 3 Sabbaths is what it tells us, about 3 weeks. But the Lord worked in these people, and his time proved very, very fruitful. And we see that in his letter. So God moved in the hearts of these people. And his time was cut very short. And remember, this was Paul and Silas, because a group of Judaizers, just like in the days of Jesus, sought to destroy Paul. So a man named Jason, a new believer, hid Paul and helped him escape to Berea in the middle of the night. So his time there was very short. But understand that Paul loved this church. He adored these people. He was excited of what the Lord was doing in them. And it ate at him after he left that he wasn't present with them. It ate at him that he couldn't encourage them, that he couldn't come alongside them and guide them in the truth. So he sent a man that he loved dearly, a man that he poured into, who pastored the church of Ephesus, Timothy. And Timothy brought word back to Paul that these people that he loved so much were walking in the truth. They were walking in the power of the Lord. He was seeing the Spirit live mightily through them. And they were being an encouragement to each other. These people were thriving in Christ. And they were thriving in Christ, understand, while they were simultaneously going through trial after trial, persecution after persecution, losing their possessions, losing their positions, and also some of them, as we'll read later on in 1 Thessalonians, losing their lives. Now, in verses 1 through 4, last week we had this focus. And we asked this question: what are the indicators of authentic trust in Christ? And Paul laid those out for us beautifully in the first 4 chapters. And here's the message, remember, that Paul delivered to these brothers and sisters. I see you, church. I am rejoicing in what the Lord is doing. I am thanking God for the grace he has given you. I see your work of faith. Look at verse 3. I see your labor of love. I see your steadfastness of hope, and I want to encourage you in that. Let's go ahead and read that together, because this is a key verse, verse 3. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, if you haven't underlined that, your labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to keep this verse in mind as we go through this beautiful epistle together, because it's kind of going to all come back to this. And I would even encourage you to memorize this. I would encourage you to put this on your phones. I know some of you put it on post-it notes. I know some of you put them in your cars, on the mirror. Whatever you do, I would really encourage you to memorize this verse. Remembering before our God, our Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been really a blessing to see the Lord move in our church family. And as I've read this passage this week, I thought of many of you. I thought of what you're going through. And as I prayed of you, just thinking about what the Lord has been doing. And I praised God in my time of prayer, because many of you are lifting up Jesus in very hard times. Many of you are speaking in your circles about the hope that he's given you. And I praise the Lord for that. So let's look at verse 5 here and jump in. But what a thing to celebrate for all of us. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. So number one, the truth comes with power. The truth of God's word comes with power. And we know this about Paul. He rejoiced in the fact that the Lord would call him after persecuting followers of the way, as the scripture says. And he loved the fact that he could be an instrument of the gospel. He relished in being a herald of the truth. But he understood that the gospel message, and we have to understand the same thing, the gospel message goes far beyond anything he brought to the table or anything you and I bring to the table. Listen to his words in 1 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. That's the first time that has ever happened where my phone has rang in the middle of a sermon. Honey, would you please quiet that? My goodness. And it's Rick Gardner. Isn't that funny? He knows we're in church right now. Okay. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. You may want to call him, the fact that he just called, unless it's just a pocket dial. All right, Paul reminds us here of the truth of God's word, and that his word comes with what? It comes with authority. Now think about this. No other book that we read comes with the power and authority that truth does. There's no words out there where authority comes in the text like the truth. And why? Because the Holy Spirit is always at work in these words. What's John tell us? The Spirit convicts of what? Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Spirit convicts. It changes the heart. It stirs up. It says, it validates to the hearer. When you sit under the word, if you are doing your part, if you are humbling yourself before the Lord with a receptive heart, it says these words that you are hearing are true. It takes a person who comes to the Lord through the journey of rationalizing and justifying their sin, to making excuses about their sin, to owning it and humbling themselves before God. Think about what that did in you. The first time the Lord says, nope, we're going to call this what it is. We're going to call this sin. We're going to call this what I call it. We're going to line up what you're doing with the truth. We're not going to make excuses. And when you came to the Lord, think about your experience for a moment. God pushed you. God gripped you. God stirred in you. He changed things in you. And what was once considered foolishness, as Paul tells us in his letter to Corinth, right? The message of death. This is foolishness to those who are perishing. Suddenly became what? A message of life. And I don't know about you, but for me right now, it's wonderful to be able to cling to this message of life. Amen? Many of you know that Redeemer Bible Church, formerly known as Harvest, like formerly known as Prince, right? But that's not it, okay. But anyway, they have given us the opportunity for our kids to come and be a part of that ministry. And I praise God for Corey. I praise God for those men and women that are pouring into our kids. And this last week, we have something to celebrate. The Lord stirred and gripped and compelled Joshua Sirkin and moved him, said, this is the time for me to be baptized. The word moved in him. He sat under the word, and there was a push in him to be sanctified. And this is one more reminder of our God's goodness. And the Sirkins are out of town this week, but when you see Joshua, I just encourage you to celebrate that with him, to ask him about that, ask him about that experience. But this is just one more example. But the Spirit works not just in salvation. See, the Spirit works in our walk throughout our lives. What's the Lord say? My sheep hear my voice, right? So when we sit under the word, it comes with power. And he continues to work through his word and will for the rest of our time here on earth. And there's one more piece to consider. The Lord not only does his work and the hearer, but he also does his work and the deliverer, the one who's sharing the truth. The one speaking the truth is assured that God is working. These are much more than just words. This is much more than how I articulate this or how I present this, because these words have power. And Paul and Silas knew that. I may stumble through my words, but the Spirit is in that. And that's when he shared the truth. The Lord worked and the hearts of the people. So does that bring comfort to you? That the onus is not on you and I to save? We get to spread the seed. We get to scatter the seeds of truth, to acknowledge the Lord, to give an account of the hope that is in us, to share who he is in our life. But the onus is on the Lord, and that brings freedom. So that is, the truth comes in power, and it certainly did in Thessalonians. Verse 6, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So what's next? The truth comes with joy. The truth comes with joy. The Thessalonians, it says, followed the example of Paul and Silas. They, as the word says, became imitators. And I have to admit to you, when I hear a group of people imitating other people, I approach that with trepidation. And for me, I think if I'm honest, that uneasiness comes from the fact that thinking others would follow my example. I love the Lord, and I walk with the Lord, but I also know who I am when no one's looking. I also know what goes on in my mind. I also know what goes on in my heart. And I know the Lord is continuing to sanctify me, but it's a sobering thought to think that he knows every part of me and that I will give an account for that. He sees my actions. You don't. I don't see that about you. I don't know everything about you. You don't know everything about me, but the Lord God does. So Paul explains it like this. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So here's the question. How did they imitate Paul? They followed his devotion to the word of God. They hid the truth of God's word in their hearts. And they thought on it. They made it their life's aim to live the truth, to walk in the truth, to apply the truth, just as Paul and Silas did. 3 weeks of seeing what it looks like to be authentic. 3 weeks, but 3 weeks of seeing a genuine love for them. 3 weeks, but seeing joy in that. And we need to be careful here, because there are no clones in the kingdom of God for our Star Wars lovers. And early on in my walk, I would have different men pour into me. And I'm grateful for that. There was a man at the creek named Tom, one of the pastors, and we spent a lot of time together. And I remember following what he did. I remember even ended up talking like he did, acting like he did. And what the Lord taught me in that time was I was not to use the gifts that Tom had because I didn't have those gifts. I was to walk in the gifts that he had given me. Should we celebrate Christ and our brothers and sisters? Yes. Do we learn from one another? Yes. Should we rejoice in the work of labor and the work of faith, the labor of love and the steadfast of hope? Absolutely. But we must be careful, because one of the traps in the church is to miss intimacy with the Lord because we follow sinners saved by grace instead of Christ himself. And I think that's a sober warning for us. So again, the truth comes with joy. This church loved the word. They upheld the truth. They loved Jesus. They were able to take trials, tribulation, persecution, no matter what came on the chin, gladly and boldly speaking of Christ. And Jesus reminded us in the Gospels what? There's a cost that comes with following him. To be a follower of Christ means that some will hate us. To be a follower of Christ and uphold the truth means that some will oppose us. They'll oppose the gospel message. And enemies of the truth have taken their possessions. They've thrown them into prison. And again, what happened? Some of them even lost their lives. 4 and 5 talk about that. However, what didn't they do? They didn't respond in bitterness. Instead, they walked in the gladness of the truth. They walked in the gladness of the Lord because the words had become a part of him. The words of God had become who they were. And again, this is true of many of you. Many of you that can't be with us today are going through very hard times right now. As I told you, as I read Paul's words, I thought of many of you. I've heard it in what you've said, as your bodies are failing you, and as you're going through awful pain, you're listening to the word of God through the night. You're listening to the words of God for comfort. You're meditating on these words. You're thinking about these words. Your foundation is that steadfastness of hope, and you are praising and thanking God in your suffering. And as Paul would say, I see you, and I see the grace in you. Through sickness, I've heard you say, we are seeing the Lord move. We are seeing the Lord answer our prayer. We are seeing his providence. We are seeing his sovereignty. And you've shared with those around you, yes, it's hard, but God is faithful, and we continue to see him answer prayer. One of you got to witness to your son this week in that way, and we rejoice in that. You've shared your struggles, but your joy has not been taken from you, and that's grace. That's because you're hiding the word in your heart. Your character has been attacked. You've been bogged down by an evil world and an evil system, and yet you're trusting the Lord and you're resting on his character. and like a young child that clings to a blanket, you are clinging to Jesus. I've heard your words. I heard you say nothing is going to steal my God's glory. And that's an encouragement to me. And like Paul, I want to say to you, and we need to say to each other, I see the Lord in you. I see you loving his word. I see you walking in the joy of knowing the truth. Praise God for your work of faith. Praise God for your labor of love. Praise God for your steadfast hope. Be encouraged. The Christ is in you, and he's carrying you through. And I would encourage you right now, if you're at home, you can pause this and come back through. It'd be a great time right now for you with your families to talk about where you're seeing the joy of the Lord in trials. Where are you seeing men and women praise the Lord that you know in difficult times? It's a great time to give testimony right now of that. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9 says this, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that this inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, what? The salvation of your souls. So again, truth comes with joy. Sorry, I just talked to my water bottle and not the microphone. Okay, so verses 7 through 9. So that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from your idols to serve the living and true God. So what happened? They loved the Lord and were devoted to the Lord and his truth, and they were changed. And Paul says, here's what's happening, guys. I'm traveling all over Macedonia, and they are hearing about your work of faith. They are hearing about your labor of love. They are hearing about your steadfastness of hope. Philippi's talking about it. Berea's talking about it. Achaia's talking about it. Corinth is talking about it, and they're all praising God for the power made perfect in your weakness that you're walking in. They're talking about the grace that God has given you, and they're inspired by it, and they're pressing on in their walk because of your walk and because of your faith. And for this church, because they renewed their mind, because the truth was not just words on the page, but that it came with power, they were mission-minded. You guys remember the Vucinovic family? They right now are on vacation this week, a well-deserved vacation at the beach in Croatia. But the Lord is moving in that church. They are seeing their neighbors come to Christ. They are counting the cost and sharing the truth with those in their neighborhood all over Croatia, and they've outgrown where they meet. They need a bigger place because of what God's doing there. And so the Thessalonian church here, the message of grace resonated from them. They were heralds of the gospel, just like Paul, just like Silas, just like Luke. And this is what the church is meant to be. Men and women who sometimes in very difficult times and difficult circumstances proclaim the truth without reservation. Proclaim the truth unapologetically. But it's not just in word, Because look what it says. Their lives were examples. They modeled repentance. They laid down their idols. Sin was being killed in them. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh was no longer a priority, and idols were no longer their pursuit. Jesus was their pursuit. Let me read Acts 17:6 to you. I know I have, but let me read it again. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men," listen to these words, "have turned the world upside down and have come here also." That's a testimony to what the Lord is doing. They've turned the world upside down and have come here also. And it's so important that we don't see our country, that we don't see those around us that are hurting right now, that we don't see those around us that are angry right now through the lenses of this world. Because we are inundated with opinions constantly. And like the Thessalonian church, we need to embrace the truth of God's word so those lies bounce off us. I'm going to share something corny with you, but it just ministers to me to this day. You guys know I was a first grade teacher, right? There's a book by Max Lucado, okay? It's called Punchinello. Anybody ever read that? Okay, I love it, all right? I love it. But what it's about is this puppet, Punchinello, keeps getting these black dots because he's getting judged. He's getting, like, sized up by all the other townspeople. And what happens in the story is Punchinello ends up going to the woodcarver, Eli, who represents the Lord. And he goes and spends time with him every day. And the more he spends time with the Lord, guess what happens? Those black dots fall off because they no longer matter. Because he understands who he is in Eli. Who he is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we have to do right now. We have to embrace the truth so the lies of the world don't become a part of our thinking. They don't shape who we are. And to call ourselves followers of Christ and live like the world, that will not fly. That is not the path to bring glory to the Lord. The only way that changes who I am is making the truth a priority. Proverbs 6 this week, Proverbs 7, make the truth a priority. Maybe read a gospel, read an epistle, read the prophets, read the law. Take in the truth. What does the Lord want to do in that through me? He's not just Savior, church family, but he's Lord. He's Lord. And again, I want to encourage many of you. We are seeing the Lord in his mercy and by his grace, put sin to death in our lives. There are people in this church family who just a year ago, sin had a foothold in their life. It was eating their lunch. And by the grace of God, they are being set free. And we need to celebrate that. The truth is changing them. Through the power of the Spirit. And again, I want to encourage you. Give one another a call. Tell each other that you're seeing that. Write a card to one another. Tell each other we're seeing that. I encourage you to continue to press on in the Lord. Because the Lord is going to finish what he started in us. He promises us that. So again, if you've been pressing pause, right now at home, you can press pause and you can talk about where you see the Lord changing each other. Where is it that you are seeing victory over sin? How are you seeing that you're not who you were? Do we have a long way to go? Yes. But that's the process of sanctification. Be encouraged in that. Encourage one another in that. The truth comes with change. And then real quick, the last one here. Look at verse 10 with me. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The truth comes with hope. See, that book that I shared with you, Punchinello, what happened is he began to walk in hope because he understood that what the Lord said about him was the only thing that mattered. And you and I must keep before us the wonderful truth that we are going to be with Jesus. Remember the words. And for our English people, you're not going to like this, but that's okay. But remember these words. This ain't it. This world ain't it. This is not what we're living for. This is not our home. The Lord has us here for a lot to be vessels. But because we've died with Christ, and because we've been raised with Christ, we will live with him forever. Let me close by reading this scripture to you after I get a drink of water. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. If you want to look at that, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Now I'm going to pray for us. And then I'm going to take you to Psalm 46. And our time of prayer today is going to be different, of course, because of the social distancing challenge that we have. But here's what I want to ask you to pray about with me. Of course, we are seeing COVID amp back up in areas, so we want to pray for that. But more importantly, I think we want to continue to pray for each other, but we also want to pray for all those around us who are hurting, who are angry, who can't find rest in their souls right now. And that's many of us even. But God has given us a great opportunity. Remember when we went through the book of Esther, and Mordecai said to Esther, "For you've been raised up for this time, for what? For such a time as this." Kids, do you remember that? Remember hearing that? For such a time as this. Right now, the Lord has us in the circles we're in to speak truth, to see what's going on through the lenses of truth. Let me pray for us, and then we'll turn over to Psalm 46. Father, I thank you for this epistle. I thank you, Lord, for these words and what an encouragement they are, Lord. What does authentic trust in you look like? What does it look like, Lord, when the truth comes with power? When the truth comes with joy? When the truth comes with change? And when the truth comes with hope? Lord, I pray that wherever you spoke to my brothers and sisters in your word, Lord, that they would respond to that by faith, God. What are you asking them to do, Lord? What are you changing in them? What does sanctification look like in them, God? Thank you, Lord, that we have so much to celebrate in this church of what you are doing. Thank you for how you are giving us gladness and joy through difficult times, that we are witnessing through difficult times, Lord, that we are speaking about you in trials, Lord, that we are seeing you in us overcome sin, Lord, changing us with your word from the inside out, God. We thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord. Father, would you give us the words to pray today as we pray through your scripture? Would you show us how you view the people around us, Lord, that are hurting? The people around us, Lord, that are angry, Lord. The people around us, Lord, that are fearful, God. Father, we know in our flesh, that's us. So God, help us to walk in your spirit. Help us to cling to your truth. We thank you for your word today. Thank you for all that are with us, Lord, and all that are in their homes, Lord, taking in your word, speaking about your word to one another. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalm 46 here. So I'm going to lead us through praying this scripture. And then I just want you to take some time and pray as well. Silently. But let's go through the scripture together. Verse 1. Lord, thank you that you are a place of safety, God. That you, Lord, are our strength, Lord. That you are help, Lord. We've seen you help, Lord. We've seen you move in our trouble, Lord. We've seen you answer our prayers when we've called on you, God. So, Lord, help us to walk in your perfect love, that we won't fear, Lord, when things around us fail us, God, when our bodies fail us, Lord, when it looks like, Lord, there are things in front of us, God, that we can do nothing about, Lord. We are in a place right now that is struggling, God. We are in a place right now that is divided, Lord. We pray, God, that you would empower your church, Lord. There are many things around us, Lord. Many emotions, Lord, from people, Lord, who are all over the board. And Father, the truth is they need you. And Lord, remind us of the hope, Lord, that we will be in your city. We will be in the heavenly city, Lord. We will be filled with joy. Our cups will run over, Lord. And we will live with you forever and ever, Lord. And Lord, we will be unmovable, God. And Father, though the things around us, Lord, are shaken, and though we live in a fallen world, Lord, wrought with sin, and though creation is groaning, Lord, for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, Lord. Remind us, Lord, as you are the God of Jacob, Lord, our fortress. You are our strong tower, Lord. May we remember your works, Lord. May we remember how powerful you are and how you hold all this in your hands, how you're sovereign, God. And the Father, one day you will bring peace. One day you will make all things new, Lord. And Father, as we pray this psalm, these words bring us so much comfort, Lord, that knowing that we are not, Lord, that we do not have the answers, Lord, but we can be still, we can rest, we can have peace, we can have joy, because we know that you are God. And we know that your glory is being seen in everything that's going on right now, Lord. We know your name is being heard in everything that's going on right now, Lord. But we know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, Jesus. We pray that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, Lord. You, Lord, are our strength. You, Lord, are our refuge. You, God, are our strong tower, our fortress. Would you just take some time quiet before the Lord and just pray? Father, again, we thank you that you are our refuge, that you are our strength, that you are God. And Lord, as we come to you as your people, Lord, I'm reminded last week of how the first four verses, God, convicted me, Lord, of oftentimes forgetting that it's a work of faith, forgetting that it's a labor of love, forgetting that it's a steadfastness of hope, Lord. Father, change in me how to view those around me, Lord. Particularly, God, those, God, who may see things differently than I do, Lord. But the only difference there should be, Lord, is if it's truth, not opinions, God. Who's that person that you would have us minister to this week, Lord? Who do we need to text? Who do we need to call? Is there a neighbor, Lord? Is there a coworker, God? Show us who that person is, Lord, that we can be a witness to how the truth has changed us, Lord. How the truth has brought us joy, Lord. How the truth comes in power and how the truth comes with hope, Lord. Many need hope right now. God, I thank you for each here in this room with me. I thank you for each in their homes, Lord. Thank you for their desire to take in your word. Thank you for what you have in store for us this week. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.